Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, guys. My name is Toke Makinwana. Make sure you catch my episode on Tea with Tay Pod. We spilled everything, guys. Absolutely everything. Catch you later.
Hey, guys. Welcome to another fresh episode of my podcast. This is the Christmas episode, and I'm doing my fave. Of course, it's Toke Makinwana in the building. Please put your hands together for my friend. I don't know why you arrived better dressed than me. I told you that we should do Christmas episodes together.
I thought what you meant was like the ornament, like the hats, you know. That's what I thought. I mean,
you arrived here in Barbary and you're looking like...
Well, I mean, I was coming to sit with you.
Right.
And I know how you're a fabulous, you know, man. And I thought I better show up looking the part.
You look like it's your show. Anyway,
guys, it's
already
his
here.
Taste
but
show.
Thank you so much for coming to my show. You're the second... You're the only person who has appeared on the TVT show twice.
Okay, because yeah, we did the...
Because the first time we did one, so that's a good thing, right?
And I mean, it's amazing because that was like a throwback how we started and how it is going right now.
That's actually how we became friendly, right? Was it not that true?
I mean, I thought about it last night. It's so weird. Laying in bed, I was asking myself, how did I meet you and how did we get this close? I don't remember how we met.
I remember some of the events, right? How we became close, right? I mean, I've always loved you from afar.
Thank you.
Well, when I got closer and I realized who you really were, right? And
what did you
it made
think
me,
at first?
It made me... I don't want to make us go fight after this episode. But I mean, I knew that you were fabulous. I didn't really think that you were this... There was so much depth to you than I thought.
So, for lack of a better word, you didn't think I had this much substance?
Not really. That's not the word.
Right.
It's just you're just a little deeper than I thought that you would be.
Oh, that's nice. Deep is good.
Of course, you have substance. That's why you are Toke Makinwana. But it's just a little depth to you that some people don't know about. And we're going to talk about it today on the show. But how we became friends, right? So I remember that time I did work for Summit Solutions. Remember now?
Oh yeah, you used to invite me for all.
Yeah, I used to invite you. Not they come, but you finally came for one.
It's amazing how you say it, and then you throw the shit. You know they come.
No, but you know they come that time now. But it was fine. I mean, it was just hits and misses here and there when I was still doing my comms work, right?
Okay.
So you came for something that Filmhouse was doing.
Mm.
But before then,
no, I remember what it was. It was the final movie that I featured in Market Marcel that I came for. And that's when I really got to know you.
Yeah,
I
no, but before
on the phone.
Then, I used to see you around. I used to say hello and keep it moving.
Mm.
I think it was one time you told me to go for BBN. I remember.
Really?
Yeah. This was 2019.
Wow.
You had told me that, oh my God, it's been so good for you and your career.
Amazing.
Go for BBN. I tried it, not pick me, so I kept it moving. So by the time, so fast forward to when I was working with Liz at Sumi.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We had something that we were doing for Filmhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Was it like, Secret Guest or something? I can't remember. So you would watch a movie with 10 of your fans.
Yeah, it was my movie, Market Marcel.
Yes, you're in that movie.
Yeah.
Right. So that's why I told you to follow me, remember?
On Instagram.
Yeah, because you were not following me back.
I didn't realize then, but I just know that I used to see you around.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't sure. I knew you were in PR, but every time I saw you, we had so much to talk about and talk about.
And I just thought, this guy is one crazy guy, which is why I thought the world needs to know and see your personality. So go for BBN.
Thank you, my friend.
So we believed in you even before this.
I love,
We believed in you even before.
Yes, you're one of the people that actually really believed in me. And it's so funny how our friendship started, right? Because it wasn't as, we weren't this close, you know.
I think we got close from COVID.
Yeah, from
I think that's when we got really close.
Really? Was it 2020?
Was it before?
Let's trace our friendship back a bit.
I think like,
so that's how that's how we were about to open your house.
So 2019 June was when I moved into
your new house.
Yes.
So we're already sending your flowers for that house. I will go invite us come. But I don't think you're ready to invite anybody to the house.
I didn't invite anybody. No, I wasn't.
Because you're like, I remember to ask you, say, who will invite us to the house? And you were like, It took you like months. Before when I come there, I know I to see that ever the fear. I say sit down for
Farouk still says this all the time.
Your house is still like even now when I'm in your space, I'm just like,
Farouk came by and he's like, I'm surprised that you even let them bring my food up here.
Yes.
And the way he was cleaning as it was eating, like,
what has changed about the house?
Nothing. I think that it was just for me. It was very, I wanted to have a sacred space where no filming will be done in there. I just wanted people to just feel like themselves whenever they visited me.
Yeah.
And I just, I have OCD, which, you know, a lot of people know about. And so I just really like, and it's so cute how it killed me. Because I remember one time I went to her house and I stained her rug. And the one time she came to my house and stained my rug, we fought.
Yes, of course.
We had a fight. Because I was like, how are you going to stain my rug?
Do you know I go to Tuka's house and in all my glory... She gonna shout for me like I'm smoking. Told you that on my chair. I mean, like, do you know who you're talking to, sis? But it's Tucker's house, so even the biggest of people know that you cannot sit on a chair in the setting with.
Yeah,
by the way, that chair is cream color. What color?
I mean, they're different chairs. I don't know which one you're talking about.
I love it.
They're different sections. Tucker's. So which one are you talking
about?
The
one downstairs.
Yes, there are two sections in there.
Yeah, the first section. Okay, the beige and cream space.
Yeah, that's the cream one.
Yeah, so you don't have to clean those chairs every day.
Well, I guess we have to find out from Edward and me. I don't know what they do.
I love
it. I just know that it's pristine every time I come by. Word, my mom came to visit me by the weekend. And every time I'm like, Mom, you can't wait for this. You can't Oriet. I'm like, fuck. Your parents are the only ones that will break all the rules.
Yeah.
Like, when my dad walks into my room, I'm like, Daddy, your slippers have to be outside. Leave me alone. I'm like, these shoes have been everywhere. And they just have no shame. And then all the time they're talking to me. I hope they never get to watch this. All the time they ask me about me, all I'm thinking is, your shoes are really on this carpet. How are they going to clean it when they leave? Where has the shoes been? Wow. This woman is literally disrespecting my private space. That's literally what I'm thinking about.
But I mean, I think you're over it now. I think you're more lenient. You're not as stiff as you. So I mean, we can eat upstairs now.
Don't say we, because just because I let you do it once or twice doesn't mean that, you know.
At least they will clean it now. That upstairs space, at least we can see it there. The rooftop. Please, I mean, you have to loosen up a bit because we have to be coming to that house the way we like. So I will not be, we'll be scared of coming to my friend's house and not, not making
as long
mess.
As I can send you the dry cleaning bill, that's fine.
All right. That's the dry cleaning bill.
Yeah.
Rich people problems.
Oh boy.
So there's a part of you that people don't really know. And that's the part that is a full on dickiness slash prayer warrior slash. Soka is one of the people that I say, and it sounds like it's cruise, but she made me closer to God because, I mean, I was seeing the effects of the work of God in your life.
Okay.
I was like, why is it very different for her? Because everything is about the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit said, something said, but people don't know that about you, right? And that's very interesting.
Yeah.
But why do you have such a relationship with God, and why is it that you're not shy to project that relationship?
Because I think that's the only thing that's really keeping me balanced. I think that I tell people, I don't know how you survive in this world,
in this without industry.
God, in this industry without God. Like, I honestly don't know. I admire people who have different means of coping mechanisms. And sometimes I'm like, how does it work for you? But for me, I find out that I needed and I still need to be rooted in something that was beyond all that is happening right now.
Yeah.
You know, all that has been happening over the years. It's helped me. It's kept me grounded. It's reminded me of what really matters. And it just keeps getting better.
Mm. But like, would you say that you got closer to God maybe because of what you were going through in terms of like your career, your life generally? Mm. And I mean, you were raised by your family,
yeah,
right? Because of your parents.
Had, yeah.
That's
yeah.
when you guys were really younger. Do you think that you needed some sort of like relationship with God because of your background?
I don't think so. I mean, the other day, my pastor said to me that when he sees me, I remind him so much about David. I don't know why he said that. He said, because, you know, we are Christians. We've been Christians for years. Mm. And when people hear what you've been through, it's enough for you to say there's no God. It's yeah. enough for you to be like, you know, I mean, I share this all the time. When the incident happened that took my parents, they had just finished praying. I grew up in a home where my dad woke us up early in the morning to do morning devotion.
Yeah.
It was important in the family. Before we went to school, before he set out for his business, we always started with God. I grew up in a home where I went to different vigils. I remember we all had a routine. There'll be mats carried, kegs of water, because we're going to vigil. Why are we going to this vigil? We'll come back the next day because my, you know, parents were praying parents.
Yeah.
So when that happened, it's enough for me to feel like there can't be a God. I mean, how does he call on you? So at the point when we're sharing the grace, at the point when we're saying our Lord's Prayer, before we finished the prayer, you knew that in 30 to 45 minutes, there was going to be an explosion. And this too.
You let it happen, God.
Like, where were you? What was going on in heaven? Were you just amused at the thought that, oh, they're worshiping me. In 10, 15 minutes, this is going to happen. You know, it's one of the most devastating things to even have to imagine. So my pastor is like, when he looks at me and how I still hunger and thirst after God, he's like, clearly your parents sowed the right seed. Because that's all my father and my mom left behind. They didn't leave me, you know, wealth or leave me room. I mean, my father was on the way to becoming who he was meant to become before he died. He was studying law. He was working with the government. I lived very
decent lives. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You know, I had a driver take me to school, but when he died, all of that died with him.
Mm.
And the only thing that he instilled or they left with us is the knowledge of Christ. So the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. So all the years when I even walked away from God and I thought, you suck, I can't be in your presence because you're clearly not fair. I don't get how it works. He was always there.
Mm.
So I think that, you know, when people say to you that I had a praying mother or I had a praying, someone sowed the seed for all of us. And the Bible says that the memory of the righteous is blessed. So I definitely see, God, are we taking it to church?
Friend, let's go there.
So
let's go.
I definitely see how the work, they lived a very short life. My mom passed on at 33. My dad at 36, going to 37. I'm 37.
You just
turned
36, yeah.
You know, so, but then they did the groundwork. And they left that with all of us. And when people say to me that I don't know how you're still a Christian after that could have happened to you, I tell them, to be honest, I don't know any other way to be. I was mad at God growing up, but I guess we'll fight, we'll make up, we'll break up, we'll come back and we find ourselves again and we're here.
And I know that God really loves you. I mean, I look at your life and we are friends and we talk about like very personal things. Mm. And we know the miracles that God has done in our lives. Mm. and so many things that he's already doing. But are there times where you're just like, God, are you really in this? Are you really the captain of this ship? Because sometimes we are faced with some difficulties. We are like,
tell me about it.
Prayer, like you breathe. The nice way I've called you to cry, you've called me to cry. See what I mean? That's our life like this. And like, at those points, like, are we thinking about God or we just want a way out? Are we ready to take any other option that we have?
This year has been one of those very interesting years.
Mm.
You know, this year was one of the biggest years I've had. And was also one of the most...
Fantastic year for you, my friend.
Thank you. It was also one of the most heaviest year that I've had. This year was pruning, a lot of separating the
removing,
the
separation,
shaft,
yeah.
Loss.
True.
And just dealing with what you said. You know, there are times where you remember that, yeah, I feel like God loves me. We're cool. Like he's looking out for me. And there are times that I'm like, I don't understand
Crickets.
You. I don't get it. Like, you know, what is the lesson in here? Why is the life of a believer so troubled?
Mm.
It's almost like unbelievers are winning when you think about it.
No, sometimes.
Because the life of a believer is tough.
It is.
You think that once you meet Christ, and it's so funny how when you first come into the fold, he's nice to you. It's like when you're a baby.
I don't think he's nice every to you when you come into the fold.
Every first prayer you make, he go answer. Anything more than just to tell you that, oh, so this is how it is
come
here.
In, come in.
Come in, come in. The way you now sit down, it's like, phew.
Sometimes I would just be like, I'm like, our Christians are supposed to go through such things, but also the Bible also says that there would be tribulations and trials. But I'm just like, God, I don't really don't want the tribulations and trials. Just boy, give me this lifestyle.
Dear
just
Jesus.
Help me. Mm-hmm. Let me just floss. Like,
I'm tired of the tribulations.
Yo, and I think somebody said that if God shows us, the reason why sometimes we feel like we're in the dark and God does not show us where we're going to or what the future is because if He shows us some things we're going to go through, we just probably will not even go on that journey at all.
But why does God, he have to be so tough though?
If you know that you're going to go through a divorce, you would have opted out of that part of your life.
No, but if he showed me that after the divorce was going to be flourish, I may have gone through it thinking, I'm going to just hold it tight.
Let me tell you what I think. I think the pain of a divorce, you'd have probably not wanted it at all, okay?
I didn't see
because
it coming.
Because of where you were at the time.
I did not see it coming. In fact, I remember cutting my 30th birthday cake in my husband's house. My family was there. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying, yo, bitches, I'm 30, married, blossoming career. Mm-hmm. Everything is going great right now. I remember that night. And my sister saying, what do you mean? Look at you. You're feeling yourself. I was like, honey, I got married before 30. You know, to put some respect on
my name.
And guess what? My career is thriving. Mm. I have a lovely home, an amazing dog. I'm doing all this event. So everything was great. Everything was popping. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then, that happened.
Did that affect, what part of your life most did that affect?
Everything. I felt like I'd lost parents at 8.
Yeah.
Who would have told me that? 31.
You lost husband.
I'll be going through a divorce. Because it is like a loss. Yeah. It is like the death of someone. You know, but then you said something in this, before you asked me that question that I find very interesting about if God shows us certain things, would we go on the journey? Mm. I found out that, I don't know, for some reason, the story of Joseph has been chasing me around. Mm. It's wild. Like all my Bible plans have been about
I told you, Joseph. I will have Deborah in the building. If I think I'm joking, no, let's go there, Dickness.
It's weird how every sermon, Pastor Paul, that they preached about Joseph, you know, I was watching T.D. Jakes, Joseph, everything I've been listening to has been about Joseph. And I've listened and learned. It's so weird that when we hear Bible stories, you know, even when you're an unbeliever, you just hear somebody at 88, God appeared, they're going to have a child. Then it didn't happen. Then finally, God opened up. It sounds like meals and Bible stories can look very fabricated. You know, you hear the story of this boy who was sold into slavery by his brothers.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, the brothers must be really bad. Or do we ever even imagine his mental state at the point where he went from a house where his father gave him the coat of many colors, comfortable. His father favored his mother the most. His father loved him and his brother, Benjamin, the most because they came from Rachel. And this is a guy who just always had these dreams of his siblings bowing down to him. Life was rosy for Joseph up until the point where they were going to kill him, but someone said, let's just sell him to slavery. Mm. So imagine you coming from a home where there's gold, silver. You're literally going to even check on your brother. So you now come to be a steward in Potiphar's house. Do you know what that would even do to you?
Sometimes we don't think about these stories deeply.
We don't. Do you know what I mean?
Just read and see he overcame.
And just think, oh, yeah, so he went. And because, as you said, we know the end, even at the beginning of the story. It comforts us to almost think it must not have been that bad. So back to your question, while it was happening to me, you know, in hindsight now, I can look back and be like, that needed to happen for me to get to where I am.
Yeah.
But while I was going through it, there was no ray of sunshine.
Okay.
Babalawo self, no fit tell me, say, you go survive this thing. There were nights where I would cradle the toilet seat till it's 6 a.m. in the morning and fall asleep beside the toilet with my father's pictures. There were times where the devil would just be like, just drink this Dettol. You can never come back from this. Like, what's doing you? People are just going to just, you know, just drink it like, you know.
Yeah, let's pause. And I don't know if you want to talk about it on this platform. We can cut it out if you don't want it. But we have had conversations about the times where you were suicidal.
Yes.
And it was so interesting that we didn't know all your friends you have been talking. I spoke to you some days before.
Yeah.
I probably spoke to you that same day.
Yeah.
I spoke to Okpe some hours before that event.
Yeah.
And so when you called me, you said you were suicidal and that you were standing on the red carpet.
I remember.
You were glamorous, but you just felt so empty.
I remember the song that was even playing, and that, you know, it was Whiskey's Ojo Eleba. And I was dancing, and everybody in there did not know that
you're going to take your life.
A voice was saying, just go home and pop it. You know, that's it. You know, and I just thought, okay, let me just have fun. And I get home. I'm just going to end my life. It was that bad. And yeah.
And this is the same year that you've had all the great opportunities. Yeah. Everything has worked out for you.
Yeah.
How were you feeling at that time? Because you also gave me we'll get to the analogy later. But how were you feeling at that time?
I mean, it was one of those things that I didn't know why I was feeling a lot of emptiness.
Mm.
Because on the outside,
everything is going right.
Fabulous. I'm making money. You have amazing friends.
Mm.
But I just felt empty. You know, I just felt like, just leave when the praise is the loudest. When the applause is the loudest. Just bow.
Is it for fear of not knowing what the future will hold?
He wasn't even thinking that much. It was just feeling like, you know, life hasn't gotten this good. It's now gotten this good. Don't wait for it to turn again. Just, it's okay. You know, like, you've done it all. You've built a brand from the scratch. You've inspired so many people to start on their journey. Mm. You can bow out now. Like, just, you know, even if someone shines you in heaven, just go and just be shining the masters.
Were you thinking that you probably didn't have things to live for?
I don't think it was. There's so many things that you have to live for, but it was just a mindset that I didn't know. And again, it's one of those things that I tell people now. When the devil knows that he cannot steal your destiny, he attacks
your mind.
Because once he attacks your mind, I mean, if he attacks my finances, maybe, okay, I'll be down a bit.
Mm.
I go hustle small money if he come back. Mm. If he attacks your marriage, okay, if he find another man, just go marry. If he attacks, you know, your health
you
maybe
can
you
get
can feel better one day, you can pray, you can fast. But if he seizes your mind,
That's the seat of everything.
That's why you can see somebody who is dressed in a $20,000 dress. You find out that we hear of famous designers who pop themselves. And we sit back and think, how can this person kill themselves when everything is going for them? Like, if I can only just have Kate Spade's money or have her apartment, why would she kill herself? Like, what was making her kill herself?
Do you think it comes from a place of ingratitude? Because lately I have been dealing with a lot of anxiety, and I told you, right?
Mm.
And I called you some days ago, and I told you that I think the reason why I've been dealing with this much anxiety is because I'm in a space of ingratitude or a place of ingratitude.
Mm.
Not because I'm not thankful for what God has done, but I think I'm forgetting the things that He has done because I'm looking forward to the next thing, right?
That's a very dangerous
I think I'm in a loop. So every time I get a new win, I'm just like, okay, done. Mm. What's next?
Mm.
What's next? Mm. So I'm constantly anxious about the next phase, next step, just because I don't even take time to pause and say, God, look at where you brought me from.
Mm.
So what I'm doing lately is just saying, you know what, thank you, Jesus.
Mm. I think it takes a lot of courage and even prayer to get to where you're going, because we work in an industry where you're only as good as your last
job.
And you find out that sometimes even when you do something, I interviewed Nonclair on my new TV show and she inspired
By the way, your show is doing amazing. I love you so much. It's on Honey TV.
Yes.
Honey Channel on DSTV.
Yes, it is.
Guys.
It's the first, you know, Pan-African talk show, global talk show.
Doing so well.
And I spoke to Nonclair and she said the same thing, that before she had the meltdown, she had been on this circle where she does something and people ask her in interviews, what next? Where do you see yourself next?
Yes.
And she's like, why are you asking me that question? I just did this. Can I breathe? You know, can I just enjoy this moment where
that's my problem.
I have done this? So it's a dangerous mindset where I don't see it as ingratitude. I just see it as the rat race that I always talk about, where we're always running. I'm very much like you. I don't sit back and count my wins. I'm not someone I'll sit down and pat my back and say, oh, you did this. Even when people tell me, oh, you know, you're the ones that, you're part of people that put a face to radio stations in Nigeria. I'm like, I don't take account of what happens because you're busy hustling to the next. What is dangerous about that, and for those who are listening to us right now, is one of the things, the journeys I went through this year as well. If God takes away everything, who are you?
Thank you.
A lot of us do not know who we are because the career is who we think we are.
Thank you.
The husband is who you think you are. The kids is who you think you are.
The accomplishments.
And then finding you outside of all of that is a painful journey.
it's a, my sister kept telling me, she was the only one I was talking to when I was suicidal. And she kept saying to me that you are transitioning to something else. I can see it. You can't.
It's painful. That's a painful process. Okay.
You know, it's not going to happen overnight. Yeah. And it's so weird how when I was in LA, I met with a spiritual cleanser. I've never done it before.
Those guys that read the cards and everything.
Yes. I mean, I went to Nomzamo, invited me to something. And from there, we're like, some girl talked about how she broke up with her boyfriend and met this spiritual cleanser or leader. And the girl didn't even talk to her about the heartbreak. So the girl saw Nomzamo and I on this cleanse spiritual something.
Yeah.
So we looked at ourselves and said, should we go? I said, okay, no.
Like those gypsy women that have long hair.
Gypsy. Funny enough, this was like, she looked very normal. I mean, she had a lot of piercings, but she looked normal.
Yeah.
But she was one of those tarots, all this. And I thought, I'm a Christian. I was still like, should I go? Should I not go? But I just thought, you know what?
Curiosity.
Let me just go. I didn't want to also chicken out because I didn't want to seem like a pussy. So I'm like, okay, let's go. You know, we picked different slots. Mine was before Zamo's. So I entered this lady's apartment, and funny enough, when she was reading the card, she said those words to me. She said to me, there was a card of death she brought up. And when I saw it, I don't fear. Say, who won't die?
Is this my time?
Is this my time? And she said, the old you is dying. Your transition. That was the first person that said it to me. The old you is dying. Things that you used to find comfort in is leaving. And there's a new you that is being born. And the process of it. Now, please just not even go on this spiritual card reading this. That I'm not saying go and meet somebody that will read your card. I just did this as far as one of those things that you're like. And then funny enough, it was the weirdest experience because she knew I was Christian. I walked into her door. You know, the first thing she said to me, you're very weary of being here because you're a child of God. And she says to me, the difference is religion has taught you that God is in the temple and God is in religion. But God is everywhere. He's in the car.
He's
in the air. He's right here with us.
Yeah.
So that made me relax a bit. Because I say, don't tell you my history. I want to scabash in front of you and say, I beg God.
Say, where's the apple, you madam?
Don't tell me, say, bring your palm. I don't want to read my palm. I just want to make, just tell me, I don't want to hear all those things, but I don't believe in it. But she kept telling me how she also believes in God and she thinks that, you know, I can tell that you're fighting it as you're here, your spirit is. Because I was just like, oh boy. This is not how my parents brought me up. Yeah, me and you, you know, skabash, die by fire. I don't know this, read my palm or whatever, but it was an experience. Would I do it again? Probably not.
But I think I should try it.
I think you should.
Yeah.
It was fun. Funny enough, I now met Zamo downstairs. By the time I came, I was crying.
What did she tell you?
She told me everything. About your life. It's not like she told me about my life or my future, but she was saying things that... She was saying things that this woman has never met me before. She was saying things that I was thinking. So it wasn't a journey of this was what happened.
You start with 4.7 million followers. Maybe she has Googled you. You're a client. You're a paying client. She will do the work. Think about it.
Possibly.
That was everyday, but she told you the things that you wanted to hear, right?
No, the things that I was thinking about. She spoke to me about my boundary issues. She spoke to me about things. It wasn't a future. It was going to happen to you.
Boundary issues?
Yes. I didn't know how to set boundaries. For a long time, she felt like, because she said something to me that was so apt. She's like, because you feel so grateful to be where you are, sometimes you don't believe that you deserve to be where you are.
So
you walk into a room sometimes and you don't own it because you're trying to overcompensate.
Ooh, friend.
And I was like, do you know me? do you know me? Who told you about me? You know, but she said that and she was right.
Isn't that a problem with every entertainer? I think there's some sort of level of imposter syndrome that we have.
Yes, I have a huge...
My home is as big as this room.
Yeah. I do.
But guess what? When I come out, I project false confidence. But I usually say if you fake your confidence, you can eventually become confident. Because I'm getting confident this day. I don't think it's because I'm faking it. I think because I'm becoming more aware of myself and who I really am, right?
I think self-acceptance is one of the things that people don't even know about.
So powerful.
Accepting yourself is one of... I've also been on that journey. I wouldn't say I'm not confident. I wasn't always confident. You know, I've dealt with a lot of insecurity issues. You know, stemming from different things, traumas that you didn't even know were called traumas. It's the woke generation that are telling us that this is what it is. Those days.
God will bless this generation too, okay?
I think so.
We are young people who are dealing with our BS, breaking cycles,
generational curses.
I swear.
Yeah.
Financial curses too.
I agree. Yeah. I agree with the financial one because people are now doing 1, 2, 3
women.
Things.
are even the most interesting ones in this category, because I've never seen women this independent, this assertive. Like, it's just a beautiful time
for young people. I definitely agree. Yeah. I agree. So again, before, therapy was something that people shied away from.
Yeah.
But now people are boldly, you know, embracing therapy because we realize that everyone has something they're trying to deal with. Something, you know, it could be something that happened in your childhood. It could be a bit of, you know, rejection, whatever.
You don't even realize how much these things affect you when you become an adult. So that's why I'm going to do therapy. I think it's
the most beautiful thing ever. I went to therapy, I wasn't also a believer. I remember the first person that ever took me to therapy was my ex-husband. I remember,
were you actually mad in the house?
No, this was even before we got married. He just always knew that there was something that I think he wanted me to deal with the loss of my parents. Right. And when he took me there and the woman was talking, I just thought, what am I doing here? Why would I talk to a stranger? I beg.
Was it because you didn't think that the loss of your parents had anything to do with how your life was turning out?
I didn't even know.
It had an influence in
I didn't know. Your I didn't choices know that, that or... I didn't know until my divorce happened. And even a year after my divorce, I focused on work because I wasn't going to be divorced and broke. It's two diseases that you don't want to have. Mm-mm. So for me, it's like, well, this has crashed, but oh boy, I need to.
Sorry, being divorced, is this still a disease these days? Like before, people used to say,
Back then, it's definitely not a disease. I mean, when I say two diseases, not disease, I mean,
do people really still say, oh, she's a divorced?
There is a stigma. The people still, especially women, still bear that stigma. And that's why a lot of women stay in situations that are not serving them any purpose, because some of them do not want to bear the stigma of being a divorced person, or just the shame that comes with feeling. It's divorce is a different topic for an entire different.
Okay, so we'll bring you for another topic.
No, because people don't really talk about the process of going through a divorce.
Yeah.
It's like literally the seven stages of grief that people go through. It's a lot. You go through periods where you feel like a failure, regardless, even if you feel like you deserve better and that relationship was bad, there are moments that you feel like, wow. Couldn't hack this thing. There are moments that you think, am I doing the right thing? There are moments that you feel like, the devil, you know.
Do you think the weight is heavier on women? Because I don't think men have the same feeling of feeling like they feel that they're married.
I think men do.
Really?
I think men do. That's why a lot of them would say, tell you things like, if I ever get divorced, I don't want to get married again. A lot of men would say, I'm not going to do it again if I ever go.
Because that's how men deal with their own.
I guess we're wired differently. I think men also go through the feelings of failure once they feel like this didn't work. You know, especially where there are kids involved, it's a different experience whatsoever, because then you have to deal with your trauma, deal with the children's trauma, because like it or not, you know, there are going to now be conversations where there are two homes. Why you have to move on? Why? And being civil in a situation where I don't have any kids, thank God. But I know people who are dealing with having to deal with either their baby daddies or their baby mamas. And it's like, God, thank you. I just don't want to be one of those people who have to deal with somebody for the rest of my life because we share a child. No judgment for those people who are dealing with it. Some people are coping excellently. Some people have the best relationships. But when you sit with people who are going through it, it can be tough.
I know.
It can be really tough.
I mean, I think that after your divorce, you had some points where you went through your own season, and you came out. It's just like you went through the fire and you came out even brighter and better. Mm. Like, what was it? I won't say the divorce made you push this hard, but like, it just felt like as if a weight was taken off you and you were ready to go into the world and just be Tokyo Makinwa.
I think that's who I've always been, though. I think I've always been. I've always pushed.
Did the hurt spur you to do more?
I wouldn't say hurt spurred me to do more. I think the hand that life dealt me, I didn't have time to feel sorry for myself because I did not have a mansion or 10 billion or a castle that my parents had that they would say, the marriage team will come back home with servants that clean up. No, the first apartment I moved into, this room is bigger than it. My bedroom, you could open the door and hit my bed. My dog was depressed. Shout out to Fanny who saved my dog during a
period. Those fancy dogs.
She went from having so much room, being in this amazing house, to now living in a one bed. I lived in a one bed.
You had to move out and be there.
I left. So I had to move out and rent. I remember where I was when my cook was the one looking for places for me. I was in Miami, heartbroken, tired. Didn't want to get out of bed. And I wake up with Edward with messages. Ma, they don't show me this one. Ma, should we take this one? And again, I just kept thinking, Wow. You know, and God has a funny way. I remember in the marriage when I knew that my marriage wasn't working, there were times when I would feel like, I can't leave because where would I start from? Where would I start from? After all, just stay. But God has an amazing way. It's like what Oprah says, when God is trying to catch your attention, he first sends you tiny rocks. And if you tiny pebbles, rather, you ignore them, you ignore that tiny rocks, you ignore that the whole house will come on top of your head. But he's so merciful that at the time when my divorce happened, I couldn't say, I'm staying because I don't have anywhere to go. I had money. It was amazing how doors were opening.
Amazing.
Do you understand? I did this Durex campaign that year. That if I tell you that I was in Miami and I was earning money every 2 weeks for videos from Durex that I had done.
Wow.
And you know, I had money. So getting an apartment
wasn't an issue.
My cook was the one I was even going to check the apartment. When I just saw one, I said, okay, let's one bed, okay, let's just pay. Paid, you supervised the painting, the plumbing, everything, and moved all my things in there because I couldn't, there were times when I couldn't get out of bed and Edward would literally pick me up. And say, ma.
Edward is amazing,
by the way. You have to eat. Ma, this thing where you know go die. Ma, like, yeah, you know. So God was merciful that I didn't now say, I'm going to make this work or stay here by force because I don't have where to go. It's like, well, girl, you got money, move.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Move and stuff.
But when you started blossoming, right, did it make you closer to God? Because did you see yourself getting to this point where you are now? Because I feel like sometimes it feels like a movie because your life is a very interesting story.
It's very interesting.
You went from being a divorcee to writing your own book to becoming a leading radio presenter and online
personality. I was already a leading radio presenter.
But you know, you went from, if you're on a 70,
are you trying to say my divorce made me?
No, friend. No, I would never say.
Is that what you're trying to say?
I just feel like there's some...
A lot more people got to know about me because it was a scandal.
Right.
So and I was trolled. I remember the White Walker. It was amusement for a lot of Nigerians and, you know, people in diaspora. The way that it happened, the way the news broke out to the press, all hell was let loose. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, people talked about it for a while. And at that time, I was still working. People didn't understand. I remember Ben Bruce saying to me, shout out to Uncle Ben. You know, he just called me to stop and says, Tox, I cannot deny that people are not talking about you at work and it bothers me. Take some time off. Because the morning after it happened that people found out on via the press, I was on the radio. I went to work.
But Tox, what's so big about divorce that they had to make it about you and the woman who could not keep her home and this and that? Why are Nigerians like this?
I think it's I don't know. I would be in cars and I would be listening to radio stations and they're talking about my marriage. She, everywhere you go, MTN. How will she divorce? She was not ready for the marriage. Every time you see her in every event, which man will stay there? That was his true love. He went back to his true love. Don't try to use fame to snatch him. That was the person he really loved. They will now dig in pictures of them. This, the that, this, the that. See her, she's a plain looking girl. Talk her slave mama. This is why he left the over bleached, over did something for this precious looking something beauty. Oh my Lord, my head almost exploded.
Okay, hold on. You know that me and you, if they cost me small, I will cry, call me, you see, they've insulted me again on the blogs. But you had to go through years of this bullying and trolling.
Yeah.
I always ask you to care. Because if, I don't think anybody's as trolled as you in this country. I don't think anybody, but just still here, tough and thriving. How and why? Is this something that is in your heart, that is not in our hearts?
No, I think...
Because I'm confused.
When I tell people, and I'm not... I say this honestly, and this is said with the most... What's the word? I'm not even trying to act tough or whatever. But there's nothing that can be more painful than watching the two most important people to you in your life being laid down to rest as you watch their coffin going down. Once that happens to you at a tender age of 8, you realize that not much can move you. I've watched my life change overnight. Security, poof, everything I thought I knew, this, you know? So tell me, why am I going to be bothered? My person will be saying,
the platform they even used to cost me is free. You're not spending money to be there. Mm. Because if they start charging money, the users would reduce by half. So I just always did not think it was about me. You must be dealing with something more severe. And you must be in so much pain to get to the point where you are that triggered or bothered to leave an insulting or demeaning comment about somebody else. If your life is full, and I mean full, not just faking it full, your plate is full, your problems are enough for you, trust me, you will let people leave. That's always been my MO. As long as you're not trying to hurt anyone, and you can go to bed very well at night and feel like when if trumpets will sound right now, you can stand before Baba God and defend your actions. Who am I to have an opinion about that? At the end of the day, my own, it don't reach me. By the time I think about my career, think about how I want to move, think about finances, I don't have this energy. I've never for the life of me understood people who even open fake accounts. I don't get it.
It's crazy.
I think I'm so clumsy that I'll mistake.
Yes.
So it, I don't even.
That's the reason why I don't even have a fake account.
Because I'm like, why? What if I can't say what I want to say with my full chest, then maybe I shouldn't be saying it at all.
Actually. But also, I also wonder where people's mindsets are when you actually type a hateful comment. It's like when Chigel came and said, sometimes they troll her just to get her attention.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But that's crazy. Yeah. Okay.
But, no, but let me tell you what it is. It's also, again, with famous people, and I say this to all my famous friends as well, it shows you how the creators of social media knew the monster they were trying to feed once they created social media. It's a great place. It's launched careers, good for business, but also it's a, it has its own demons in the sense that the need for validation is one thing. Now you can have 900, you're great, you're amazing, you're cool. You don't even remember the names that are dropping it. You don't even read. You just read the comment and you scroll. But that one that says, why is your skin so scaly? You are so ugly. You will know the name of the accounts.
You will go to the accounts and look at their lives.
So does that not say much about, forget people that are writing those hateful comments. Why are we taking notice of that one? Because for every hateful comment you let live rent-free in your head, there's 500 others who are cheering you on.
Yeah.
Well, if they ask you tomorrow at 2 a.m., who was the person that said to you, you go, girl, you're killing it. You don't even remember. You don't even check their profile. You take that for granted because you're looking for the things about you that are...
Because naturally, that's how you feel about yourself.
Yes, and you're looking for those things that trigger those things you already feel.
Or so when you see it, how you feel about yourself.
When you see it, you now spend so much time puffing and huffing and thinking, how can this person say, let me block, let me respond, let me do this. There's 900 other people who are like, Tay, you're amazing. I love you. You inspire me. If they asked you, was that person that told you you inspired? Do you remember?
I remember all the trolls.
You remember all the trolls? So they are looking for that attention because if they are like the other 900 people, you wouldn't remember them. So sometimes it's not that deep. And that's why I tell people, I don't think anybody at home at 11:55 p.m. is really obsessed about Tucker Makinwa. I don't think so. You have your own problems of NEPA. Generator don't off lights. You have your own problem of how you can charge your
problems.
Phone. How you
and that's what you told me that work. Helps really helps
so
me.
You can't, so it's that spur of the moment thing. Ask that person that abused you. 3 hours, they don't even remember they cursed you. Ah, today I cost them, sir. They laugh at their face.
That's an actual thing. Oh.
They don't remember. They don't remember. So why do we spend so long obsessed about the people who bring out those negative or not so cool parts of us and we ignore those people who spend time watching, listening, following your journey? You don't even pay them any attention and you're not paying them to do that. They're doing that because they're truly inspired. Then somebody who does not even listen to your podcast just wants to get your attention one afternoon will just come and just say, see your head, Demisa, and you will not be upset about it. You have to learn to take the good and the bad.
I think also we have to get to a point where we actually love ourselves and we...
I don't think it's lack of less of love.
I think some of us... So some of us are moving around this place, moving around life insecure with our own baggage. So anything that triggers it causes us to feel a certain type of way. To be fair... Most of the insults that I've gotten from Instagram is because I actually felt that way. That's why I was triggered.
I won't say I felt that way because I mean, people talking about how they've said the worst things to me. So I didn't feel, I wouldn't say that I felt that way at that time. I would say that I believed that it was attention. And I think that it was all love. I don't think that there's someone out there who hates me so much. And even if you hate me, what are you going
to
do with it?
But that's a good way to look at it. That's a just,
I think that's what also helped me. Just not,
yeah, I feel like the time that I came to you and you told me that, you know what, at the end of the day, Timmy, and these people, when push comes to shove, they're not trying to bring you
I've
down.
I've seen someone who said, I hate talking Makinwa, but running to me, of course, we remember the trolls, running to me at Rhapsody, I'll never forget, with a phone. Hey, can I take a video? Can I take a picture? And I thought, this person looks familiar. Even hosting The Buzz this year, there were certain
you told me.
Twitter influencers and people that have just said nasty things about me. And my point is, when they now call you to say, come on, Toke Makinwa show as a guest, you wore clothes, you wore shoes.
So come on, this show of this mad woman.
Of this mad woman that you don't like. That just lets you know that it's not that deep. Everybody just wants their 5 minutes of fame. And if you can get it by trolling me, go ahead, enjoy. In 10 minutes, you're still not famous. Nobody gives a shit about you. Nobody's going to remember that. Imagine dating somebody, you go on a date and you find that person's one of those people that trolls celebrities on you. Ouch.
Like, it's so, it's like, sometimes when you look at their profile, I'm like, why? Like, sometimes I actually go and unfollow some people because of their comments on the blogs. Sometimes you just realize how people actually think. You just follow them and you think that they're normal people.
Yeah.
Then when you go on the blogs and you see what they're saying, I'm just like, ah, bros, you too?
Yeah.
I go on.
I was so thorough at some point when I see people, because I, you know, with the algorithm, sometimes when people like a certain post, it comes on your feed. So when you see one of those blogs and you see liked by this, I used to look at them with side eyes that I know, like, why are you out there?
Why are you commenting on this blog?
Commenting on this gossip blog, like, why?
And your colleagues are there, oh.
The ones that comment with their full chest, I'm like, wow, gee, you got time on your hands.
There's some people that have said some things that, you know, they were here before in my eyes, right? I placed them probably here. I was like, Jesus Christ. I have a community of followers that love and respect my work, right?
That's amazing.
So I really don't see the need to chase clout.
I don't think it's even a clout thing. I just think that people sometimes just feel like, I think this, and I'm just going to say it, I don't think it's for clout. I really don't think it's for clout, because, okay, even when they put it out there, it's not like the person, or you're still working in this industry, or you're planning to come and shoot a movie. So you're not, I think they just feel like, this is how I feel, and this is how I'm going to say it. And it, which is all right. It's just that I don't think that life revolves around us giving our opinions all the time. I've come to a place in my life where if you're truly, genuinely busy, you really don't have time for what people are doing. Because at the end of the day, it's as long as I said, are they killing you? Are they affected? No. If somebody has decided to do anything they want to do to themselves, you can have feelings about it. But to now be like, outrightly, like on every post, it's just a bit much. I just think that sometimes it's just unnecessary. But I mean, somebody else is going to listen to this and think maybe what I said is also unnecessary. So,
well, yeah, that's fair. Let's talk about the men.
Okay, well.
The men them. Because friend, you don't say they hurt. So you come in here, you hurt like 10 people.
Thank you.
Friend. How are the men folks?
Honestly.
The male gender.
Because
you are like, I was like, nigga here, right? How are they?
I that's a very good question.
Yes, friend. Tell me.
Niggas, how are you? How are you guys? I don't know. I honestly do not know how to
Okay, please stop.
I swear.
For the sake of this show.
Dating has just become very interesting.
I know that part.
And it's just nerve-wracking, you know?
Yeah.
It's just a lot of, it's a lot. When you think about people who are not dating right now, maybe because they've dated and finally found their one person or whatever.
I feel like they're the luckiest people in the world.
Yeah, because these days,
I'm on these streets.
Everybody's just like, I don't think people value genuine people anymore. Everyone's just in it for what they can get.
Yeah.
And we now use people instead of things. We find people who are walking around with feelings for people that they would never air because of ego, because of, you know, it's just like, it's not as fun as it used to be.
People are not even getting to, like, we're not getting to know ourselves. It's very surface. It's very,
very
the timelines of these relationships
are
like.
I saw that thing on TikTok where it's like normal people, boy meets girl, maybe dating, engagement, marriage. And this person was now doing my own is from meeting stage to dating. She keeps going back and forth. It never goes from meeting stage to dating.
Have you seen that meme where they said, I'm tired of people getting to know me. I'm tired of talking face. Because that's where a lot of people just stop.
That's where I am right now. I am exhausted. But I don't want to get to meet anyone. These days when
you
people
say that?
To me, I'd be like, hey, can I have your number? I just always, I promise you, I tell them.
But how are we going to plan this big wedding if you don't meet anyone?
Tim, I don't know how God is going to do it because I'm honest with you. I'm at this place in my life where the process of boy meets girl, let's start chatting, telling each other what we think we want to hear. It's so exhausting. He's so excited. I don't want to meet one more person. I don't want to have to get to know one more person. I'm done. These days, you think that, and I feel sorry for a lot of people who talk to me this because they probably just think she's not that interested. It's not that. The girl is just tired. She's just, if I have to deal with my
maybe
life itself.
Maybe like a flyer or something. Just this what you want. Say, bros, as you're coming, this is how you're going to behave. This is what I want. I want
maybe
marriage.
I'll do that,
I want this.
Actually.
Because you have to say this. You have to say what you want these
because
days.
Because the process of just getting to know people, and I know I'm not the only one who feels this. So I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and I was like, does it happen to you that it's such a turn off for me that if I go out and someone and I have a good conversation, I was just getting, you know, into the swing of talking and just enjoying our own company. The moment I hear, can I call you sometime? I just feel like, no, nigga, don't do this. I know how this is going.
Bonner from club is the entire dance.
I know
now.
Because everybody pretends.
True.
In the first couple of meeting points, I'm talking to your PA. You're talking to my PA. You're talking to somebody who is giving, that's the your PA gives you the best. It's like a rehearse. Oh, I enjoy this. Oh, I like doing that too. Oh, I love traveling. Oh, I do that. No, you don't. That's not who you are.
Yeah.
And then when you now get comfortable, they
not
take
sure
you for granted.
But what do people project the part of themselves that they're not when they're
I don't know why. I think everybody does
at the beginning.
I think everybody does this. When you want that person to really think that, oh, I just met this amazing person. So you only put out the amazing things about
you. I usually like, well, when I meet people for the first time, I usually like to put out all parts of myself because I will not be happy.
Tim, they're not going to meet somebody in the first 2 weeks and just let the person know how toxic you are.
Oh, you
if
don't,
you are toxic.
You don't know me then, okay? Maybe that's why I'm still single. As you're arriving, I'm showing you who I really am. Are you going to deal with it or not?
Yeah,
let's
but
go.
Has that worked?
Friend, I'm blessed that I go to pretend now because you don't like the realness.
No, but I'll tell you what I find really interesting. This is the first time I'm actually saying this publicly. People will say things like, men don't like famous women. Men shy away from famous women.
It's not even men. No.
I
generally
find
oh.
that completely false. In my case, what I think happens is men fall in love with the idea of who they think I am. I meet guys who legit be like, let's have dinner in London and breakfast in Paris.
Yes.
I meet guys who legit
energy,
be like,
my friend.
You know, hey, I just met you. You're not even asking them. Just like, oh, how's your day going? Da-da-da-da-da. Oh, I'm just doing. Oh, so I don't want to insult you, but do you mind telling me your account details? I'm not trying to insult you.
Yeah,
I'm just trying, you
just
know, like,
just
oh,
for
okay,
you
a bit. And then you meet people who just at the back of meeting you, hey, I just, you know, I thought about you. You get home, table full of flowers, bags, shoes, diamonds. They do all that shit. The moment they realize that
hold
that's
up.
Not who I am.
Friend, hold up. Are you saying that you meet some of these men just off of meeting them, right? Just because you're talking Makinwa?
Yeah.
They just want to spoil you.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the real matter of the relationship,
I think they just like the idea of this girl who's on the gram, this girl with this fabulous career who's on TV. So they just want to do everything. You know what I mean? They like this. It's like you're a trophy.
Yes.
It's like they want to be able to say to their guys, like, you know that babe, like, that's
my
babe.
I'm dating her.
That's who I'm chatting with. That's this, that's that, that's that. And then the moment they get to realize that Toka is really not
as,
when a guy tells me, oh my God, you're so different from what people say about you. You're so down to earth. Oh my God, you're this. That's the end of the relationship. That, I'm not lying. That is the end of the relationship.
It's okay.
Once I hear a guy, it's happened not once, not twice, not once they tell me, people don't know you. I had an ex say to me one time, it's okay, people don't know you. They'll sit in place, they'll be talking about you. I'll be like, this girl will say, it's just open heavens, you'll be reading just this, just new Bible, this, da, 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 da. The moment the nigga said that, it's like he now took me for granted.
Yeah.
It's like I became basic to him. So they like that when you call me, I'm just, you know, getting my nails done. I'm just, you know, I just want to do this. I just want to travel. I want to go see my dentist in England. They're like, oh, can I have your travel agent? Can I pay your tickets? They love that work. The work of, okay.
Let's connect.
Let's connect, you know? I don't need to go to fancy restaurants every night.
But look, I wish we could switch lives. Because you're tired of this thing. I want these things, friend. No, but seriously, Tucker, I really want your life.
But you know some of these things.
No, but I feel like what I don't know is that beneath this glam, you are real.
But they don't like that, boo.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think they like the idea of who you are.
They like the
like
idea
this.
Of this glamorous
but when they come
girl,
in and see that you are reading prayer, you are speaking in
they
tongues.
Leave me.
Tomorrow you are praying. Tomorrow you are your
I
pastor.
Get, they
you
get
are,
bored.
You are speaking Yoruba for them. You
they
want
get
to eat.
Bored. They get bored. Amala.
Of father.
Of father. There's you're, no wig.
When you are Rita's wig, you are a normal girl
normal
speaking
girl.
Yoruba and going around
they
the house.
They get bored, friend. They do.
Wow.
Honest, I promise you, I think it's the price we pay for who we are.
Because I feel like once they demystify me, and it happens to me, once they demystify me.
And I don't blame them. I see how I see Beyonce online, and I'm dying for her.
Yeah.
I imagine if I just saw Beyonce every day,
no weave,
never
she's
brush
calling
out,
with Jay-Z.
Just like, you know, she just go to her house and she's just there with this
the kids are down before they're
yeah,
playing.
She's
just there, she's tired.
Even you at some point, you're like, oh, girl, what's going with you? What is going on with you
some
now?
Where
is it now? Try it now, you know? So sometimes I don't, honestly, it's a problem. I don't know what to do. I tell my pastor is tired of these conversations because we always like, T, Sister T, maybe you shouldn't really be showing them your real self too quickly.
Mm.
But I'm like, ah, is it not easier for me to show the person so that we know that, forget
it's
the grammo
the
and the brand, though. That's my business. Toke Makinwa works for the TM brand.
Yeah.
I am a girl who works for what I built.
Yeah.
I'm an employee. Do you understand? Mm. In this establishment, this is not who I am. I don't wake up with diamonds. I don't particularly even fancy so many of these things that people think I do. I don't even enjoy shopping. I get people to do that for me because I don't like to do it. I don't, you know, when we travel,
yes,
you know, I'm not the kind of girl.
Yeah.
I don't like
yeah
to change,
you're not
change
the stores,
your
rooms. Yeah,
I'm not that
yeah
girl. I'd rather just find a shop. Look, buy this for me and, because of what we do, we put our best foot forward.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because
yeah
of what we do, we create this whole, you
constantly
know, to earn the money
yeah
so that when you ask people to pay you this amount of money, they can see that, oh, yeah, she's worth this.
Yeah.
She's worth it. So
yeah
you do that to build the brand. And then the downside is that people now get to feel too comfortable way too quickly when they realize that, oh, I don't like even turning up. I don't like going out, you know. I don't drink that much.
You don't even stay in the club with
I
us
don't
beyond 12 o'clock. Like your driver's
yeah
already calling you.
I'm going home.
Look, it's so funny that Tucker, and you know, Tucker is one of the most misunderstood people in the world because half the time she's in that house when she's not working. When we are out and about, 12, 11 safe, Tucker, they say, driver, please come and pick me. She's going to leave us and go back home and sleep. I think this is a 30 plus problem. I don't know if
it's... Don't be stupid. How do you give me a 30 maintenance? It's not a 30 plus. I've always been like that. I think also, you might be right. I think growing up, I've had my days of clubbing Sunday to Sunday.
Yeah.
I like that I've lived a wholesome life. I have done what I'm supposed to do when I'm supposed to do it. I'm not going to be 45 or 50 having a midlife crisis because, boy, I've done it. Dancing on tables, is it that one? Going on, I've been there, done that. Do you know what I mean? So when you are in a phase where you're now saying to yourself, I built myself an amazing life. I'm thinking anybody who comes to my life right now should be proud of the fact that this girl built from nothing. And this is a queen and somebody who should inspire you because guess what? She's a hustler. She's a mover. She's
yeah
making things happen. No, they just want to know about the part where, oh, how much is dressed? Don't worry, don't pay it. You know, your hair's looking nice. This is that porcelain doll looking like... I'm even sitting in front of you now. I didn't even wear any jewelry here. Do you know what I mean? Because some days that's not what I'm about.
Yeah.
You know, but then when people get to know me, with men especially, they get bored of... Maybe I'm actually boring. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe the real me is boring.
Let me think. Give me a second.
But if you say yes, I'm a tough...
Wait, let me think. It's okay boring. Because you're not boring, my friend. You are not. I feel like also the problem is that the chasm between Toke Makinwa, the brand, and Omotoke, the daughter, our friend, our sister, is so different. Toke Makinwa is such a huge brand. That's, as you said, like Toke Makinwa is employing Omotoke.
Mm-hmm.
The Omotoke we love. We also, that's why we respect the brand because we see the Omotoke here.
Mm.
And when it's time to be the Toke Makinwa brand, the switch up is crazy.
Mm. As it should be.
Yeah. So maybe they fall in love with the Toke Makinwa brand and
that's
they don't see enough of Omotoke.
So maybe that's why I'm single. I know why I'm single.
So I think that's why your real friends have fallen in love with Omotoke.
Mm-hmm.
But the public is still messing with the Tokyo
Makima. The public is okay to mess with me. They don't need to know me that way. It's okay. I don't need the public to know.
So I want to get the money in your life to understand your Motoke.
No, I think the problem is I'm probably meeting the wrong guys. Well, I'm probably meeting the people who are just interested in Tokyo Makima.
So where are we going to meet the right guys for you?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. And we have a big problem because I'm also at a point in my life where I'm not interested in meeting anybody.
You have to be interested. How will you do the big wedding?
I don't want
now
to meet anybody.
I have to say Ashabi your wedding. Okay, if you give me a contract of selling Ashabi for your wedding, I will make money. Because I've already planned it as I'm the one in charge.
We're talking every day. It's tiring. I don't want to do it anymore.
Well, they will say if you even go to church these days, no go even see.
I don't like church boys.
Why are all of you saying that? My friend, one church boy tells one of my friends, she almost ran mad. Why are church boys doing this to my sisters?
No, what I believe is that the term church boy is flawed. Church is
a laundry house, yeah.
For the sick.
True.
Everybody that is going there is sick.
True.
So you going out or having a mindset of somebody that you believe is supposed to be a certain type of way because you meet them in church is flawed.
But they will always encourage us to marry men who believe in, like, encourage women to marry men who are Christians, who are God-fearing.
This whole Christianity thing gives me headache all the time. I always say that one of the biggest things that happened, you know, I hated the fact that people had to die from COVID and the sad parts of COVID where people lost family members and people are still dying. But I think that the world needed that shift, not people dying, but a lot of things, other things that happened as a result of this virus.
Lots of mind shifts and mindsets.
You know, religion has always been a problem. God is not in religion. It's a personal relationship. True. Spirituality is not religion. A lot of people have gotten themselves in trouble with the mindset of marrying somebody who is supposed to be church, Christian, we share the same faith. You can be that part of the Bible that says don't be unequally yoked to an unbeliever. Religion has taught us that that means unbelievers are people that don't believe in your religion. They don't believe that your religion is one thing. So you sit down, you hear people say things like, oh, we say, you know, Christians are only Christians are going to heaven. It's arrogant for you to even say that. Completely arrogant. Because Christianity came when? Jesus was not a Christian. He didn't call it Christianity. They were followers of Christ. We labeled it Christianity. Christianity came after Christ was long gone. Jesus knew, which is why he went from, when the Bible says Jesus went from city to city doing good, he knew why he was not at the synagogue telling us come and meet him. Because these are what buildings made with mere mortar. God is not in a building. You cannot reduce him to that. Do you understand? So you find people who are now falling in love with this whole concept of this church building where they practice whatever religion.
Yeah.
Either you call it Christianity or Islam or any religion you call it, that you say, okay, we are going somewhere to say we're going to worship God or whatever. All those things are right. Tradition, the Jewish went up to do Sabbat. They are right. They are doctrines. They are different ways of life. But the real spirituality is an individual thing.
True.
So that's why you find people who are unbelievers, quote unquote, as they would like to make us believe, who will marry themselves and 50 years after they're still together.
Yeah.
You find those that were blessed in the church 2 years after they've scattered because it's these things. Doctrines are great. They're like laws. The reason why they put laws is so that there will not be any disorder, right? Laws are put there. But sometimes there's a bit of blend between doctrine, traditionalism, moral, the things that we learned as moral compasses.
Jesus Christ said that he didn't come to
He knew why.
For the old law.
He knew why he didn't go to the synagogue. Every time he went there, they tried to catch him in a lie. He would rather enter a boat and say, take me to the other side and preach to the multitude. They would come out in public. And he never asked them, what do you practice? What do you believe in? He just spoke about the gospel. And those who wanted to be believers became believers.
Yeah. And that's very interesting because the pastor that came on, the pastor that I told you we should go and go to his church, right? He said something that was so profound. And that's something I've been holding on to for a long time. It's like when Jesus is revealed. No, when Jesus is, what's the word? It means that when the believer accepts Jesus, he begins to work in you. So it's not really about religion anymore. The transformation comes from knowing and accepting Jesus. And I think that's why a lot of our own doctrines are very flawed here. It's more about the institution of religion.
Religion has caused a lot of wars, problems. I was watching Justin Bieber and Chandler Moore.
Mm.
You know that Jairus song apparently was written by Justin Bieber. I didn't even know. Wow. They performed it together. And when he finished, he was talking about how a lot of war in the world, a lot of injustice even done in religious outfits.
True.
Finding God by yourself is the best thing that can happen to you. Because I believe that there's so many doctrines that these days, and I thank God for my work with Christ. There are things that I go to MFM, they know me there. But when my pastors, I tell them the one that is for me, and the one when they start saying the things that I don't agree with, I tell them to their face that, you see this one that you just said right now, I don't believe that this is what it's meant to be.
Yeah.
I feel like there's going to definitely be a shock at the end of the world when we finally meet our Creator, when we realize who he really is.
Yeah.
So many things that we think that God is hung up on. He doesn't even exist in those things. Those judgments, things that we do here. Imagine there's a woman online who is preaching every day saying, don't wear high heel. I'm watching those things and I'm just thinking,
people say we should not have accents. They use accents to hustle for this Lagos. See me, Otoke.
Do you know how many people actually go to those places and believe that?
Yes.
So you want to reduce the creator of everything to high heel?
Yes.
That was man-made.
Yes.
Man made the high heel.
Yes.
It was for wigs and
ridiculous things. Also, like, I think that a lot of people have not sought out for God for themselves to care.
It's the fear of what they might find.
Well, that, and also
religion knows.
They kind of also are lazy to do the read. Like, you know, Christians abroad or white people, or foreigners, yeah, they read. We don't read the Bible. Now we see pastor preach, give us, so we're taking the chapter from the book of chapter, this. That's when people open their Bibles.
And then people forget that same chapter that is being read is going to hit thousands of people differently.
Exactly.
What you get from what this Jesus wept, what it means to you is different from what it means.
Some people
to
can
you.
Even twist.
It's different from what it means that, there's lots of twisting.
Wriggle
going
the
on.
Bible and you there's find some.
Link said something interesting before. When we're filming the last time, and I spoke to Link and he said, very profound. You know, we always keep hearing things like God said. Who is taking account for what God is saying?
Now.
Ooh.
That's why the Holy Spirit is
why
there.
Why is there only one Elijah? We should have our modern day.
We probably do, but we don't even recognize them.
Okay.
I think we do. And I also think that there's so much happening right now that God is saying. And I think that's using the Holy Spirit. That's why I feel like people need to have a relationship with God.
Okay.
It's like the Holy Spirit is... God gave us the Holy Spirit to do the work that he needs to do here whilst he's away, and when he's going to come, depending when he's going to come. And all of us have been so blessed to have the Holy Spirit talk to us and speak to us.
I agree. My thing is, until we begin to have these open conversations and really address the problem of religion, there'll be many more issues that will arise in the world. And people look at, it's not a bad thing to have a religion or practice a religion. It is not a bad thing. That's not what we're saying here. We're saying that so many people are now worshipping religion and not worshipping God. Doctrines that have been passed down for ages, that now the new generation, the woke generation, they can't question it. They are so woke that when you tell some of them
something, crazy.
They look at you and they think, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't. But we, in our generation, we just took it hook, line, sinker.
And because I believe it for years, that's what we've been running on. That's the fear for our lives. You know, sometimes when I speak to I'm Gen Z, but you know, I was raised by my grandmother, so I don't know this Gen Z thing.
Yeah, I think you're on the borderline.
Yeah,
you're
I'm on the cusp. That's, you know, that's,
that year, it's a very,
So when you speak to some of them, I go say, God, please, I bind all this Gen Z knowledge. Because some of them, they talk to you. You go ask if why you believe God. If some Gen Z bring out facts, because they're so exposed to information. So what are you telling them? Do you understand? And you know, I'm a Christian by faith. And I don't want to dab. My own Christianity is safe. I see the gram.
I don't like to claim or say I'm this. I just know that I'm a friend of God.
Yeah.
I have a relationship with my Creator.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that means to you, it's great. But I know that beyond, you know, when they say, when they teach you in school and you now teach yourself again. One of the biggest things I did this year a lot was Bible plans. Just reading.
You did a lot of that.
Because I believe that for all those years of going to a church like I go to, they teach you the warfare, which is good. I learned how to pray. But for many years that I was praying, God didn't know me. Because I didn't know the word. I could skabash. I would hear a bird by my window.
till 2 a.m.
Ah.
Wherever, back to sender. Let me give you a story. I can say everything.
Let me give you a story. When I was in GSS, JBSS1, I'm sure that bird was stuck on our fence. I think that was just a bad day for that bird. It was around 2 a.m. I should be sleeping at her school the next day. You know, my granny woke up the entire household. I'm sure she's going to see this video. And she, now she still believes that that bird was a witch. Because I know that, so that bird was probably stuck and helpless, right? I think it was a bird or a cat.
Now, cat.
My friend, we prayed up. We prayed so that they sleep with this. My granny said, stand up! Are you one of them? are you an agent? So we could not even. So if we were sleeping in that prayer session, that's your member. You don't want to cast them. I don't see some of our members, they're there. I don't want to bind them, but you know where I'm from. So I had to stand up and be praying. You know, I prayed till like maybe 4 a.m. in the morning. Maybe the cat finally got off the hook. You say, we have won victory.
The other day, cat has gone. I'm just like, flying inside my house, and I could see all in their faces. Where did the bats come from? I said, will you kill that thing there? What do you mean? But when you're confident in Christ,
and I think there's the understanding the of God that you. We have. So it's so different. So when I talk, they feel like I don't know what I'm saying. I'm just like, I carry Christ. What do you think this is?
I mean, do I believe that there is evil in the world?
Yeah, but yes, I'm a child of God.
But so I feel like a lot of us are living in fear and not walking by faith.
Yeah.
A lot of us have now believed, and I was one of them, that you do good, you get good.
Yeah.
You hear something bad happen to somebody, you now start thinking, maybe a person don't offend God.
But that's not who God is.
That's such a bad word. But that's for so many years. That's what I thought
it was. I still feel like that sometimes. Sometimes when I do some kind of stuff, like, you see, this is why this thing's happening to you. But that's not who God is. That's so interesting. And I really want a lot of young people to understand the Jesus that I've come to know.
Mm.
And I keep saying this in every episode that how do you all do this thing without God? And it feels like I'm becoming a pastor so quick. But
I think everyone is I won't say use the word pastor. Everyone is a priest. Everyone is preaching a message. As a fashion designer, your aesthetics is a message. Yeah. As a makeup, it is. Everyone has a responsibility to preach. Yeah. So your life is saying something. And it's amazing. And I love having conversations like this because I like the young way. Mm. I like the way the young people are worshiping God now.
Yes.
I'm a huge fan of Chandler Moore.
They're amazing. The Maverick, whole Maverick City music.
I just
music.
Like how... They are
elevation
like
worship,
tattoos.
Yeah.
They're not your conventional what you
feel. They're experiencing God. That's what I think about.
They are going into the hearts and minds of so many young people.
Yes.
People will go to a concert. I was at the experience and I was there to 5 a.m. Do you understand? Same way you go to a secular concert. You can now go to a concert where you can do that and feel like, okay, you connected your spirit. And I think that that's what God wants to win souls.
Yeah.
Jesus knew why he'd never. I always tell people that story of Jesus and the woman by the well. If for me, I don't know about other people, but I've heard that story so many times to kind of understand the mind of Christ. He went to that well knowing the woman was going to come and draw water. Jesus can never be thirsty. He can command the water to rise up itself and he will drink it. But he waited for that woman's salvation because she was important in the journey and the chronicles of things that were to come after.
Yes.
And when she came, the way Christ approached her, the woman must have thought that she had found a new toaster.
Yes. Yes.
Because the Bible says she was married 5 times and the man she was living with was not even her husband.
So this was going to be
like,
seventh
Hi,
one.
Hi, can you give me a drink? That's pickup line. In her mind, she for don't think, say,
and
ah,
seven is the number of completion.
Guy.
Jesus was the last
she
bus
She don't
stop.
Even know, say, completion happened for him. That woman don't look and say, this bobo. Say, make I give him drink.
And Jesus would have been so sophisticated and sweet. The glory would be on him. Like, this is the man.
As he said, she said,
he
did not see her response to him. That where I'm from, we don't give,
that's a Lagos girl telling you that. Move on this?
Yeah. And he asked again,
but
do you know that I can give you a drink that once you drink from, you will never
bust her brain. She wrong.
He's like, a man saying that I can take care of you. You want to take care of me? Sure. But that was what happened.
So you're the woman by the well. I think that you're the woman by the well.
You know what I mean?
Because you're that type of girl.
Girl.
So I'm like, goes outside and say, why is he talking to me?
That's exactly the attitude she gave. He asked her twice for a drink and then she goes, you know that we're not supposed to fascinate. That means she don't look and say, he's not from here. I've not seen his type in this town. If I don't see him, if I don't know, suppose you are a stranger, I should not give you a drink. The man looked at her again and said that, you know, can I have a drink? And then he now said to her, but do you know that I can give you a drink that if you taste it, you will never thirst again? That's a man saying to you that if you listen to me, I will take you to Banana Island.
Guess what? This you just said just made me just have to tell you, you have to keep on going on those dates. she had to go through six to find the complete man at the seven. So imagine if, so let's go back, because you keep saying that, oh, we don't analyze the Bible characters and what they were going through. Imagine what that woman was going through, okay? Having gone through six men, she has been labeled as
six husbands.
An ashawo, as everything. She has, like,
imagine. I only went through one, because I can't even go through
six men. She had married six men.
And the one she was living with was not her husband.
Imagine now that woman, they would cuss her out on Twitter, everything. But look at how she was in the history mm-hmm. of Christ. Mm-hmm.
He came to give her. He came so that she can have
these life. Niggas will keep coming to care.
But I don't want to marry six times, bro.
But you're not going to marry six times. You're going to date a couple of times.
I don't think I have it in me.
But friends, you have to wait. Six niggas have to come through.
Except I think I'm now like...
You cannot give up as if you're going to throw your six fingers.
I think I've seen all the six.
No, you have not
I
seen them.
I think I've gone past six. You know, I've been through six. Right now, I'm just waiting. Nah, I deserve to meet the prince right now. I've kissed so many frogs. Boy, I've been there, done that. Not kissing no frogs no more. Not entertaining no jokers no more. I'm not interested.
How can you differentiate between prince and frogs? Sometimes you have to take a while.
I don't know. Then Jesus meet me by my well. How about that?
I don't want to go to the conference, because if you are this Jesus, I will still bring the man to
no,
you.
I mean, what I mean by Jesus meet me by my well is right. As well as meet me, send the man.
But
well.
If the woman never went out to the world, she probably wouldn't have met
Jesus.
Boy,
I've been going out to wells every day. Look at me.
But I have to give you a flowers on this show, because I think that you're one of the few people that made me very interested in my relationship with God.
Okay.
Because I didn't see anybody who was in my space. I mean, I wasn't close to anybody who was in my space who represented a big brand like you, but was also very interested in God stuff. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I remember sometimes I would call you. You are probably praying. You are fasting on a Monday. You are reading some scripture. Yeah. I was like, this girl, because I like there are too many parts of you that people don't even see.
Mm.
Half the time, if you were in the conversation, you must have mentioned the Holy Spirit like three times. The Holy Spirit said,
that's like my best friend.
Yeah. But we people don't know this part. And it's so interesting how much. So when I started seeing results in your life for free, my friend, I'm telling you, I started forging a better relationship with the Holy Spirit, because I realized that I was seeing results from your life and you have such a close relationship. Maybe this is the guy that's making things work.
Yeah. I know you, hearing that from you has made me feel so good, because the part of the Bible that says, let your light so shine so that sons of men will see and glorify your Father who is in heaven. It's amazing to legit hear someone say that. You know, I hear people always send me messages like, oh my God, you post to open heavens, this, that, you know, it makes me, even then when I'll be like, that's how I read my Bible. When I just go to your page in the morning and I read it there, because I set out
sometimes
last year to make sure that I would read my Bible 365 days. I did 290 something days last year. And this year again, I think my Bible plan sends me a message letting me know how long. Let me check it to show you. I think it's almost there, about the same thing. I feel like as you said, it's one of those things where that's how you know that you're doing something right. When people can see your life and see the God of Temisa is who I want to serve, or who I want to come through for me. And the thing with the Holy Spirit is, it's very easy for those who are listening to us. Like, you know, there's a part of Shanamo's song that...
You're Enough?
Yeah, that Jaira. Says you don't need no trophies or whatever to make you proud. Yeah. You know, it doesn't mean that you're this perfect human being. It just means that for guidance, you know, that's one. And I prayed for it. I just used to pray that I wanted to befriend the Holy Spirit. I just want to know you. I want you to direct my path. And like clockwork, I would hear the voice. I would see things. Like, it's not like vision or trying to get
it.
It's just that nudge. You know what I mean? That confirmation. Some nudges that. And so, and then sometimes you're like, how do you know it's really the Holy Spirit? I tell people that, you know, I've just come to a point that I trust God enough to know that even when I misjudge or misread or misunderstand, you will use it to work for my good, because you know my intentions are great. So it's one of those things that every year I tell God that I want to know you more. My relationship with God this year was better than last year and the year before. It wasn't overnight. It's like a normal relationship we work out with someone. You know, the way our relationship has grown.
Yeah.
It's something that you grow.
True.
You'll definitely work at. So.
And I think that the more that I'm taking these lessons from you, the more I want to replicate the same thing. So I'm talking about God more, because I've experienced God.
Yeah.
So you know how last year was and what this year is, and so many things that God has done for us and me in particular. So the more that God shows up, the more I want to tell people about this God. And I always tell my friends that I've experienced a Jesus that you have probably not been told about. It's a different vibe. But you experience this type of Jesus, you want to talk about him every time.
And I think the most beautiful part is even before you open your mouth, people can see that there's something about this person.
Yes.
There's just something. Yeah. The weapons have formed, but they just wouldn't come to me.
Friend,
right? Come on. You know, in my office, they talk, don't offend her. You know, she has one book where she writes names of those.
Sharon says it too. Sharon says, I pity for those people that always try to offend me. You know, my Jesus is very strong. You will find that. And she literally says that anybody that crosses her gets into trouble.
That's the story of my life. I kind of always find out that I've never had to. Maybe that's why people feel, oh, you don't respond or you don't fight back. Because in due time, the compensation is worth me exchanging words or doing evil for evil. I don't know how to repay evil for evil. I just feel like you will get caught up. And when you get caught up, I will be the one to beg God to have mercy on you. So,
do you think there are a few people that who God has set apart to say, you know what, this is the industry that you're in and you have to influence because of the level of influence that is calling us to?
I don't think so. I think that somebody said something to me recently. It's like a father having 5 children. Out of those 5 children, did I say children? Jesus.
No, it's fine. It's okay. I know you can't speak good
English. English. A father having 5 children and each of that child he has a different relationship with. God's relationship with all his children.
And the children are also different as well.
It doesn't mean he's practicing favoritism. It just means that the way he relates with this person is different from how he relates with that person. It took me so long to get that. And I realized that it's actually true. Even as earthly people, you have 5 friends. Your relationship with me is different from your relationship with KK. Yeah. It's different from your relationship with other people that are in your life. So it's the same way. So I feel like it's not a God saying Timisam was influenced for me is because your cup runneth over. There's nowhere else. It's spilling. We can see it. So you will definitely talk about it. Do you know what I mean? Because it's not hidden. You don't want to be one of those people that talk about it without people seeing results. Do you know what I mean? So before I even open up my mouth,
and God will not want to.
You definitely know. So that's why these days I tell God, as Auntie Mo always says to me, that she says to God, I can't follow. I wear high heels.
Yes,
you know, before my butt touches the ground, Lord, now you go talk.
And I think God loves when us as his children just fall into that space where we're like, God, it's just you. Because I got to a point where I was too tired of monitoring the optics and doing, like, I'm just like, God, please, I sort this out. Almost like handed him over the keys to the car. He's been driving, and sometimes
Better than me, because even in I still go through those days.
No, I do, but
those moments where it's like, just yesterday alone, I had a knock on my head, you know, because yesterday was Monday, one of those periods where I was just laying down and praying and just being like, Lord, I am exhausted from, because I said to you earlier on before I finished it that the story of Joseph has been following me. And I feel like Joseph in prison right now. I feel like, you know, the weight, everyone knows that I've always talked about how, you know, family means family means a lot to me. And I do want to start my own family. And it's one of the things that I'm like, Lord, you know, Jesus, when I turned 37 this year in South Africa, you know, I'm shooting my talk show. You know, I'm at the top of my game. But I still cried that day because I just thought, Lord, I want my daughter to see me on TV. I want to be able to walk in and I'm like, do you know who this is? And, you know, I want to have that, you know, and it's one of my desires that I have spoken to you about so many times, Lord. And, you know, yesterday I had one of those days where I was just like, oh, I'm so tired. I'm just so tired. You know. And then right after that, when I read my Bible plan, there was one I was talking about gratitude and how we should learn to practice gratitude because he's heard. And then the beautiful thing about one of the plans that I'm doing right now, I was talking about how Joseph's struggle wasn't about him. It really wasn't about him. It was about his father. Yeah. It was a promise God had made to Jacob that had to come to pass. The Goshen that he had promised the children of when they were coming to thrive in Egypt, the famine was going to come. When Joseph told his brothers that you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, to preserve your lives for a time like this. He had nothing to do with him, but he had to go through that so that the 7 tribes of Judah, the children of Jacob, you know, his kids were the Judah, all of them.
The brothers.
Yes, you know, they
the tribes.
Those were the promises that God made to him that had to be accomplished, that I will remember you. And even on his way to reunite with Joseph, he did say to him,
so Joseph was the vessel.
He was the vessel. That was it. So you never know.
Sometimes
life.
God sets us apart for some.
Yes, so it might not be about you. Work. The weight you're going through might have nothing to do with you. It might be about somebody who is coming in your lineage or lineage,
you know,
or whatever.
I know sometimes, like, I hate to make this show very, I don't hate to make, I'm a Christian, so it must always show, but one of the things I always see is that I must talk about Jesus on with my platform. Yeah, okay. Because like, it's, Jesus is so cool, but like, because
one of the guys
know,
in here said you're going to be a preacher one day.
That's what one pastor said. I'm not going to be a preacher. I'll use my platform the way I want. But Tuka, you know how much anxiety and uncertainty that we face in our space. There are times I've called you and said, are you sure I should be doing this? What did God say about this? Is it this? Like, I'm always in my head. And the only times that I can get out of that space is with God.
Prayer.
I try everything else. It's only with God. Like, I was listening to Stephen Furtick yesterday and he was talking about...
Oh, I like him. I just started watching him. Listen,
he's superb. I was talking about, like, yes, the topic was yes, you, and how much that God has... there's so much... like, I was talking about Peter and Simon, and there was Simon and Peter in Peter. Simon. So when God went to them at the well, God asked them to train their nets and everything, that all that process was to get Simon to become Peter, because all of that potential was in him. But God already knew that it could be Simon anytime that was going to deny him and do all of that. But God had to take him through those processes, and God was still there.
Yeah, but that's why we said that you don't have to be perfect. Like, when I talk about the Holy Spirit, like, people always automatically think that, oh, if I befriend God, that means my life becomes more boring.
Yes, that's the problem.
I don't think so, because everybody who you've read about in the Bible, they were individuals
I'm
who
very
went
flawed.
Through their own journey. One of the most interesting characters for me is David.
David,
because
I feel like if David was alive today,
he probably will be condemned by the church. He probably will not be led to the church. He'll probably be seen as controversial.
Yes.
You know, but God just loved him because God has this
many
relationship
people. Solomon
with his children.
Probably not even be allowed to church. Exactly. But you know one thing I think about Solomon? You know, women give great advice.
Women?
Yes, women are very smart and wise.
So you think that's why
God
surrounded himself?
God just knew that he needed a couple of women around him. You understand? Like, I mean, if he's going to be the wisest man on earth, he needs like wise counsel.
He had 700 wives and 300 concubines.
Exactly. Just he couldn't have slept with all those women. Probably some of them were going to be
like,
and say, oh, dear King Solomon, this is what you need to do about those midwives who are struggling with their babies.
Solomon was Lara now that married him.
Friends! The lifestyle!
I'll be like, boo, even if it's 3 years of faithfulness.
At least you get a husband. What's your business? This Burberry bag, you have like 5. You will say, Solo, I may not see you till next year because our date is not. I imagine that Solomon.
My king,
went
you say
through,
Solo. My king every day.
No, but you go be the babe,
every
the girlfriend that became the
all
wife.
All the boys are calling my king on your phone. Do they deserve it? Are they Solomon? My king. Every day I wake up. How beautiful is your splendor?
No, but Tuka, if Solomon was to see right now, you probably not even greet him like that. That fuck boy. It has how many wives
fuck
already?
What?
No, nah. Because Solomon's story now has become history, and we respect and revere the Bible.
No, I don't.
But you know
so.
That right now, if Solomon is checking you out, you're that old man with how many wives already wants to make me. You know now.
I don't know about that too. I will so follow. Yeah, I'll be seeing me on Instagram. Come check me out in my palace.
But the kind of money that I think Solomon had, I don't think you even need to be on Instagram. That's true.
Yeah. I'll probably be like, why? You make that kind of money to disappear. You
true.
Don't make money for people to see you.
Do you think you make some money to some extent and you disappear?
Of course.
Okay, I don't think you would.
Boy,
you like the glam too much.
Watch when I hit billionaire status, why do I need to be on the gram?
You'd be like the Jay-Z's and Beyonce's,
the Rihanna's as well. How many times do you see Rihanna these days?
That's
all she's
true.
There to sell her products. Do you see her talking too much? She's a billionaire. What does she have to talk to us about? What does she have to discuss with us? She's
so
a billionaire.
This is my Christmas episode. Let's keep it Christmassy.
Okay, let's do that.
Yeah, let's try that. So I have a few Christmas questions for you. Just burping to champagne. No. Okay, first question.
Let me hear it.
This is Christmas question. What's your typical Christmas morning like?
Ooh, breakfast in my pajamas. Family breakfast.
Yeah.
And everyone has a Christmas hat on.
Is it?
Yeah, we do that every year. And I make the meanest mimosas.
I make the memories.
I bet you go invite me for this on Christmas this year. Because I know we they go worry.
Every year, actually. Mm-hmm. Every single year, there's like pancakes, there's sausages. And then after that, we open all the Christmas presents.
Oh, but like, you don't have a lot of Christmas presents this year.
How do you know that?
You already said it now.
Okay, so why are you putting my business? Why are you putting my business?
Now you took and said under the mistletoe, there's nothing there.
Why are you putting, my business in the
street? And that's because you have refused to give this thing as a chance.
Not that. It's just, you know,
please,
I think...
for us to have to, be able to open more Christmas gifts, please start talking to them now. Reply their WhatsApps.
You told me about the well now. So for me, I'm going to another
Let's go to the well, please.
I'm going to different wells until Jesus comes to draw water.
But... Yes, friend. Yeah. Okay, so second question. What's your favorite Christmas movie?
Home Alone.
I think that's my favorite Christmas movie too, as well.
Because that was the time when Christmas movies made a little bit of sense, even if it didn't really make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Let's ask ourselves, what was he doing at home alone?
Just the euphoria.
Like, how did they not remember that he was missing since they got to the airport, even if they had that many kids?
How did he deal with all those people?
And then why was he home alone? But the ones they do these days, the acting is so bad, the storyline is so bad. Princess Christmas, Future Christmas.
But if you think about Home Alone, like no American family would have left their son. It's just, I just think.
Then by the time they even got to in the car, you really want to tell that none of his siblings noticed that he wasn't there. And then why was he home alone twice? Home Alone 2 again, really though?
Right, the parents forgot the second time.
Yeah, I think Home Alone 2 was they forgot him in a hotel. I can't remember or something. Yeah. It's like, Pastor Kevin, Kevin's not here. But it was fun. That's like my favorite Christmas movie, actually.
Yeah, that's my favorite Christmas movie, actually. What's your favorite Christmas song?
Holy night,
the stars are shining brightly.
When my dear Savior.
Let's sing in this man's ears. So I should be so angry. Jingle bell, jingle bell, rock.
I also like. Have yourselves
a merry little. Oh, that's a sweet song.
I like joy to the world. The Lord is
God. That's my favorite one, actually.
That thing,
yes, now. Because I sang that song so many times at graduation parties.
I also like, what's that one now? Santa Baby.
Na, 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 it's not any local song where you like any local Christmas song.
Keresimesi to my deo. Ayo, ayo, ever. Kefi, just see.
I don't know that one. No.
You don't know it.
I wasn't raised here. Every that's
Christmas.
Why.
If you go to Methodist church, every Christmas they sing that very well.
No, not this one that we sang. Keresimesi.
I don't know. Keresimesi.
Keresimesi day. I've never heard that. I don't know the question of that. Hey, I really don't know
this.
No, what's good for Wario? Okay, we know they do that. No, so. We not even get the lyrics correctly.
No, I know Keresimesi to my day and then all do lost up with you.
Barbarie. Okay, I know that one.
Fish.
What's the worst Christmas gift you've gotten or you've given and you've gotten?
What Christmas gifts I've given? None. I'm the Christmas presents. Best Christmas gifts I've gotten. I've gotten really nice Christmas gifts.
Of course,
I got
you have.
Speech Birkin.
Huh?
Once. I mean, now.
For Christmas?
Yeah.
Who are your friends? Definitely not me.
For Christmas. And I've got jewelry for Christmas before. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Money as well.
How do you attract such big gifts? What do I have to do?
I ask. What would you like for Christmas? Oh, I've been eyeing this.
You didn't fear to ask.
Why should you be afraid? It's just material things. And I always think, what's the person going to say no? Then you move, we move.
I don't know where like that's. So I would think of how you think about me. What
no,
you say?
I have a rule.
Yeah.
I say to people, I can only ask for what I know I can buy myself.
Right.
So
right.
If you shebi olori buruku,
you just call your shopper.
And I will buy it.
Yeah, buy two colors.
You understand? We I trust
you.
Slam.
Choose where you know go wear it. You buy four colors.
Well, so that when the person sees me next, they will see it on my arm and I'll be like, oh yeah.
I love it.
You're acting like an asshole and I just called someone to get it. Sometimes I don't necessarily have to buy it myself. I can ask two or three more people to buy it.
So can I stop? Well, please.
It is what it is.
Are you a fan of Christmas trees or do you just do first aesthetics?
It's a thing. You know, I put up my Christmas trees
so every aesthetics. First
of, not fast. I am a fan. I do videos. I love it. Calms me when I walk into the house and I see the lights. I'm like, yes, Christmas.
Okay. Games. What's your favorite meal on Christmas Day?
I just told you pancakes.
No. Pancakes in the morning. So yeah. Breakfast.
Breakfast.
Right.
Christmas but with bellinis.
Okay. So we're done with this Christmas episode. I just want you to make a Christmas switch. Just say which.
You cuckoo did. Both of us have had one moment.
My friend, I beg. This work not easy sometimes. I speak great English. Sometimes I'm just in my element. I'm so sorry, guys.
My Christmas wish this year. Is that what you're asking me?
Yeah.
Do I have to share it or do I have to think it?
Just make a wish on this show. What if it comes true and everybody's aware of it? That's a good thing.
What do I really want? I want my next man to be my husband. I want him to love me, to guide me.
What's that, Ciara's prayer? Ciara's prayer.
But Ciara's prayer, you won't pray for Christmas.
Wherever you are, oh Lord, we want to wear matching pajamas.
So if you find a man off the show, what would you give me?
Whatever you want, Your Highness.
Okay.
I'm not desperately looking for a man.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, what if somebody reached out to me and said, Timmy's hand, it's a billionaire somewhere from Saudi Arabia. Because friend, this barbary bag, why they sit for this tables, this chair, so it's not cheap.
Why do you have to put the billionaire?
So the man has to come correct. So what if a random Arabian prince reaches out to me and says, you know what?
Random?
That talk I got is very interesting. Can I meet her for lunch? Because come and say, my agent. We'll have to go to Dubai together. So me, I'll escort you to Dubai. What if you now marry an Arabian prince? The blogs will be on fire. Lagos, Nigeria will shake. Talking about this.
It's just like I might now be on social media anymore because you know they are very like into themselves.
No, but that time, you would have set the ground rules that no, this she's a superstar. What if you go? It doesn't matter. What did social media do? Mm-hmm.
I like that faith, my friend.
Yes, and
Father God of Temisa.
You've left the legacy.
Hearing Temisa right now, Lord, just answer. No, but what do I really wish for this Christmas? I just, you know, I've suffered loss this year. I lost my big sister this year.
Yeah, I'm so sorry about your loss. Okay. I know it was a lot. It was a lot on you. Like,
I can't believe
going through it was crazy. Yeah.
And, wow. I just, honestly, just my genuine wish for Christmas is to legit have all my family members in good health, in peace, cherish family, and just enjoy ourselves together. I mean, even if we might be together via Zoom, because a lot of people can't come home because of a lot of things that are happening. But yeah, I would really, really want that.
I'm done with Christmas. So quickly, I just want to talk about your career and where you are now and how great your work. I'm so sorry, guys. I know that you guys are looking at me, but you've had a fantastic year.
Thank you. I have.
Did you see yourself having such a fantastic year from COVID, from the years before?
COVID is weird. When the Bible says where there's a casting down, there will always be lifting up. I was never worried. I used to tell people I was never worried.
I was.
Because I knew that my life is not my own. And I say to God, you are the manager, you are the PR of this brand. If you like, let's go down there, you know. Do you understand? So I was never worried. I made so much money during COVID. I was making money every week.
From what?
Boy, a lot of videos. People move to advertising online. Digital, now, so yeah. It was always please, can you do this? Can you post this? Can you do that? Do you post a video for washing hands? Can you do that?
And you make TikTok become a thing.
Yeah, I was doing all those videos. I never really worried about, you know, there's a confidence, and I have to say this to people who are listening. You need to get to a point in your life where you're confident in the one who made all things. To know that the devil will attack me with different things. So maybe say, I know we're quickly born or whatever. But you see, no, I'm 37. I'm honest. Like, okay. You know, some people have kids at 25 or whatever. Yeah. But you see my finances, there's an edge. I can't beg. I'm so confident. It can never happen. I'm never going to be poor.
I have friends like this. God, I can never be poor. God, you said where there are 5 billionaires. The last one is this.
I've never even had to worry.
It's okay, this energy is a big flex.
Do you know what happened? You know, last week I was just saying to God that this year, you really took care of me, oh God. Even when you are putting your hope and trust in people, as they let you down like this, Father is just giving you booze. Like, he will now make you sit in bed and laugh and say, now, so you did things to that person. They promise. Call me this week. I'll do this, I'll do that. As they are failing like this, God is showing
you. You know, God is very jealous. And I think that sometimes when God is trying to reach out to us and toast us directly, you know, sometimes when you depend on a certain group of people to say, you know, they'll do this, they'll do that. And God be like, you don't even know. I need me to be the one.
And it's weird how I'd gotten to a place in my life where I almost became like that. You know, when things are going so well for you, you just feel like, what can possibly happen? I know I have people in high places. I can call this person. God will cause them to fail you.
He humbled me like that.
Fail you.
Yeah.
And I heard the voice walking into Silverbed. Because you are comfortable now, you've forgotten who your source is. That was when I just realized that, wow, you know what? You are right, Lord. Yeah. So for every time that I've gotten to a place where I'm almost excited that, this is going to happen. They're going to call for this job. They're going to do this. They're going to do this.
I check myself immediately because I think that's what happened when
you make it go left.
I lost
my job.
So that
I'll just be like, oh boy, now you're and I did. Yeah. But you know what it feels like? I can't remember when last. Let me brag about God for a second. I cannot remember when last I borrowed money from anybody.
Me too.
I cannot remember when last I had to call, even in my family, to say, please, can you give me when? This God is too good.
So, my friend, as you talk, I'm like, my money, you think about your account, as you talk about that. You get money, my friend. I beg, as you live here today, bless me, my friend. Do Christmas for me. It's a Christmas, guys. You are here. Do Christmas for me, my friend.
Do Christmas for me.
Listen, I'll cook rice for you now.
Nah, this Christmas what you want. Okay, so what do you want?
My friend, what do you want or not? What do you find where I can give you? What you not get?
You get plenty.
Let's see.
I don't know for this, you.
Nah bag, nah shoe, nah house, nah money. I told you that I'll take you to the well. So what else is left?
You're a good friend.
Okay, I'm a good friend. So I'm going to carry to the well.
So what do you want for Christmas?
Give me money. Give me a low.
Okay, how much do you want?
We are 10K. Dollars. So, okay, that's nothing to you, my friend. Bitch, give me no Burberry now.
When you gave me no Burberry.
So there's a special segment that I created like literally 24 hours ago, and I'm happy that you're the first person to share this segment with me. It's called Spill the Tea. Okay. So basically, I ask my followers to share a secret with me. That anonymity is intact, so nobody hears. Just cool stories about
your
lives.
Followers,
okay. Their secrets, things that they want to share. And I've got some interesting secrets to share with you today.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about it. If you're not saying somebody talk to you, my accent, the comment side, I don't know why. Well, somebody actually said, waiting for a podcast with you and talking about your friendship.
Oh, really?
I didn't even know it was going to. Okay, so there's so many here. I didn't even realize them. So this girl said, my boyfriend is a placeholder till my hobby locates me. I checked my boyfriend. He can't have kids. I fake my orgasms with my boyfriend.
She checked him.
Like, she don't check, say nothing.
How does she know?
I have no idea. He thinks he's the best in bed.
But how does she know that he can't have kids?
Maybe they went to, I don't know how these people do it, but maybe she has found out or she has heard something.
Okay, so what is the question here?
This is the secret that she's sharing. So basically, this guy is the placeholder that she gets her real husband because she already knows that this one cannot father kids. I think she should leave him alone.
No. Why?
So guess what?
Because not every relationship would lead to marriage now.
True.
And at least she knows. She's not living in la-la-la land. Mm-hmm. I think what I find a bit foul is, you know, she's saying she knows he can't. I want to know how she knows he can't father kids. Did he tell her that? Was it something he shared with her? And if he's believing that he wants to marry her, I think that's a bit foul that she's not as honest enough. But I feel like if you like someone, there are different reasons why you're with someone. If the sex is that great and it's keeping you for now, while you're still looking outside, let the person know so all their eggs too is not in this basket.
But if this man probably knew, he'll probably not continue a relationship.
Exactly. So how does she know? So I find this secret a bit odd. How do you know? Reproductive organs and...
What if they're open about it and maybe she has accepted...
If he told her, that means, is he asking to marry her? If he's not asking to marry her, she's also playing herself. What if he's also having a good time?
Exactly. But I think that what's interesting is she's aware that this is... She probably has a timeline to say, you know what? Whilst I'm with this nigga, maybe probably the guy has money and can take care of her.
It's fine, but as long as that's okay. I don't think she should leave him because people, I believe, are with people for different reasons.
True, relationships will lead to marriage.
Yeah, I think that's one of the. It's more of an African. The way we date here, we're always dating so seriously. Have fun, girl.
Marriage is a big deal for us.
Yeah, you know, not every relationship has to lead to you in a white dress and him in a tux at an altar. Some relationships lead you to nice restaurants. Some relationships lead you to a wardrobe full of shoes. Some relationships give you miles. Miles, baby. Do you know what I mean? Let's go to Paris tomorrow. Clock the miles. When the relationship ends, you're a gold card holder, gold member, platinum member, silver member on an airline.
Because you need that relationship for your next level.
Before, so if you don't even have money to travel, you use your miles to travel now. But don't go. Lifestyle remain.
Imagine the relationship that you were traveling around the world with your man, and eventually you get into a business where you need to travel around the world. You already have your visas and your...
Do you understand? That's what I'm saying. Not all relationships must lead to marriage. As long as she's aware, nobody's mm-hmm. deceiving anybody in this situation. Mm-hmm. She knows she can't marry him. He knows, if he knows she can't marry him and he's not asking for marriage, then enjoy yourselves. When the time comes for you to kuba wole,
yes,
as far enter the kuba wole now. Sure.
Because I think that even maybe she's actually pained too, because maybe she found out from others.
But how do you find that someone can have kids? You have to test. But how do you know? Even as women, we don't know we can't have kids until you try. So maybe they've been trying.
I don't know how they knew, how she knows. But I think that maybe also he's trying to hide it from her. And she found that, and she's like, I'm going to show
maybe
you.
Maybe she saw a document.
A document. Maybe she said something.
Yeah, but why are you trying to show him? That's something personal. Not every man will be able to share that with every woman.
Like, what if it's common knowledge, maybe within the family, she's overheard them talking about it.
But then again, I'm going to ask you another, maybe I'm just too smart for this secret. I'm going to ask you another question. Is he asking her for marriage?
But usually when girls are with men these days, they think about marriage.
Huh? How many girls? They think, is the man thinking about it? Is he every man that's asking
exactly
every girl for marriage?
I feel like she's the one that's going to enjoy this thing and benefit it, because
you'll be shocked. If the nigger is not planning to marry her, she's not losing anything too.
No one saved you.
He's not losing anything to you. They are both playing with themselves. He too, he knows maybe he doesn't want to have kids, or he doesn't want to, or he doesn't have kids, or he can adopt. With money these days, you don't necessarily have to, you know, have your own.
Yeah.
They can adopt and give an unfortunate child a fortunate future.
True.
So at the end of the day, I think what would have been the question is, if you asked me, if somebody is asking if we can marry somebody who cannot father a child, that will not be a bit of a...
Look, she doesn't even plan to marry this man. Don't worry.
So the man might not plan to marry her too.
So fair enough.
I think the relationship in 2020, when everybody's deceiving themselves. We're all lying to ourselves. To the best man wins.
Well, this is so cute. I don't think we're going to talk about it, but this person just said, the secret I see is TBT becoming a global podcast. Amen.
That's
it's always
nice.
Been something that I wanted, so I cannot wait. So when it becomes a global podcast, please replay this.
You better have me as a guest as well.
Friend, I'm going to have you every other day. You know, I was just always sweet.
What's the other secret we need to talk about?
So many sexuality, boy.
Well, let's talk about it. I want to hear.
Okay, so this person says, this person is a guy. He said, my dad's driver was my first sex. Until date, I'll still let him hit it. Maybe that's why I like older guys.
So he's gay?
Clearly.
His father's driver was his first sex.
And he said, even up to now, he'll still let the driver's father's driver hit it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's judging. The secret is tough.
I ain't judging.
But it's so funny how...
I ain't judging. You gotta do what you gotta
some,
do.
I think some of this is a level of abusing that.
Is it? Is who is abusing him? Abusing the driver?
The driver they abuse. That's, so obviously, it was young.
Do you know
when,
how did he say it was young?
It was young. Now,
how do you know?
This person is a young person, I think.
He said his first experience. What if the first experience was 2 years ago?
I don't think so.
Did he tell you he was a child?
The way he's saying that, oh, I'm seeing two older men. Even after many, it probably was a child.
Okay.
See, that's why I'm into his older man. So that man probably took advantage of him.
Damn.
It's crazy.
That's crazy. I didn't think about it like that.
There are even crazier secrets. Let me share one more before we go.
I just thought that, you know, it could have been a case of whenever he started having sex, first sex he had was his dad's driver. Parents, watch around your kids. That's all I'm going to say, because that's wild.
It's like, wild. I'm not going to lie.
How does your husband's driver defile your child? Because that's what it is. The driver, if you're going by him being young, the driver defiled him.
Yes.
But he doesn't know he's been sexually abused because he's still praising it. And that's like what I find with a lot of guys. Guys will say their first experience was the nanny.
Yes.
No, honey, you were sexually abused. That's what was happening. But they think that's what made them bad.
Because men don't really treat that part.
Like, they just don't even think about it. Like, my older sister's
they
friend.
Even some of them even said they enjoyed it. So
that's why at this point is saying he will let him hit it till tomorrow.
Okay, so one last secret before we go.
Okay.
There's so many secrets here, but let me just read this last one. Because everything is about sex. Nigerians
I
are so secretive that
like
sexual
every time
life.
I see people say, tell me something, it's always sexual.
And
let me tell
like
the one
it.
That on Oloni's page that was wild was the girl who said that she was sleeping with her boyfriend's father. And every time the guy would call when they're having sex, they would just put the phone on silent. And when she's at the family table, she and the father will be dead. I died. I think I shared it with you. She's like, so I think Olone said, tell, share a moment where you put your phone on silence. I said, you were sleeping.
All right, I think I saw that.
And
thing.
She said that she's sleeping with her boyfriend's father.
And the father knew.
The father knew. So whenever the boy calls, they will both laugh at the boy. I'm like, ah, he's calling you, Abby.
Ah, Baba is a Magbaya. And he will laugh. And imagine the Yoruba man does the last
thing. And then I go to their house and we're sitting at the table. She looks at the father and the father was still like, how are you? And they will know their secret codes when they're missing next. And the boyfriend does not know. Like, how are you going to fuck your man's father? There are many men in the world.
He's probably rich.
I don't care.
True.
I'd rather leave the guy.
And yeah.
Shape, that is more
fair. And when the boy finds out, he'll be so hurt.
He'll be so hurt.
Okay, so this last one.
Okay.
It says, I'm falling for my lecturer. Please better stand up.
Stand up, please.
Better stand up. If you fall, you pick yourself back up.
So is lecturer a guy or a girl? A female?
No. This is a female telling me that she's falling for a lecturer. Obviously, a male.
I had a crush on my literature teacher in secondary school, Mr. Sholanke.
How old are you then?
I didn't have anything on my chest. Ah! I was young, but he was so cute. I fancied Mr. Sholanke so much that I would find reasons to go ask him questions after.
I feel like it was a teenage thing. I think after...
Well, I don't think he knew. I never told him.
Of course.
But I think all the girls in school fancied him.
Yes.
I think he was responsible. We never heard any story of him trying to use that privilege. But boy, the guy had piercing eyes. Oh, every time Mr. Sholanke came to school, I would take off my top button.
Oh, you never get breath. So what are you doing?
I don't know. And then every time I'll find a reason to go and say, sorry, sir, I don't understand this about Macbeth. I don't understand this about this. About
girl,
that.
You know about Macbeth more than you should know about Macbeth.
Now that I'm talking about it, I had this massive crush. I used to go to his office every time. And then I'll make sure I put white powder. That's all we had. Then we put white powder. Gel your hair in front.
Okay, I've been on the street.
Make sure you get inside. And then now I can just knock and say, sorry, sir, can I come in? Sir, the assignment you gave.
I don't understand this part.
The way it'll be like, I will discuss it next in school. Next.
Very dismissive.
He never looked my way.
Teachers know better now. Especially with young students.
I mean, I was young and I'm thankful he was responsible.
Puberty, you're probably hitting puberty.
Because I imagine if he was a randy man.
For run into you by now. You have a lot of stories to tell. Thank God for you.
Thank God.
Whew, we've come to the end of this episode.
I can't believe I shared that. Mr. Sholanke, if you ever hear
this. He probably will not see it, but if he sees it, you know that it was a thing back then. Yeah.
Wow.
You should be flattered. The whole token market was questioned on me back then.
I think I even put socks inside my bra. Stop. Like, I have like a cleavage. Because I was a late bloomer. So I'll take off my first top, like brush my hair. I literally would be packing my things to go to school because of Mr. Sholanke. For like
how long
years,
did this crush last for?
Until I left secondary school. I think I discovered him in GS3.
I really discovered. No, artist.
Until I left, that man was like the man of my dreams. I just thought.
Probably still is. You want to go and look for him?
No.
Should we look for Mr. Sholanke? Please help us find Mr. Sholanke.
Don't do that.
Maybe that's Tokyo's money. Like,
Mr. Sholanke probably is married right now with kids. And he probably is pot bellied right now, old and maybe not as kids.
Oh, you don't want him anymore.
He was a young lecturer.
Right.
No, of course not. It was an infatuation.
So you're over it.
Well, I'm so over
it. That's a good
thing. Believe my memories. That's all.
Anyway, this has been a fantastic episode with my friend. Know.
You got me to talk about almost everything.
Yes, friend. That's the energy on this show. That's the goal for TVT Pod, is to just create conversations that are a bit lighthearted and also very deep. Some depth, some surface, but we're just going to have fun on this show. And that's what I plan to do going forward. And I can't wait to have you on other episodes, because there'll be other seasons by the grace of God.
Amen.
But thank
that.
You so much for coming.
Well done. I do want to give you your flowers as well. I've watched you grow and I'm just in awe of all the amazing things that you're doing, owning the brand, diversifying and doing all this
thank
amazing
you so much.
Work that you're doing. It's very beautiful to watch.
By people like you.
Thank you. It's very beautiful to watch and very amazing. So well done.
So much. You're going to make me cry. I love you so much, Tokyo Makinwa.
Love you too, babe.
Jesus.
Oh, thank you, guys. Thank you for having me. And now I can't believe I've told the whole Nigeria that I had a crush on this lecturer.
Oh, don't worry. They need to do that. That's it. That's tea. That's tea with tea, friend. Mm. You don't get this anywhere. This is an exclusive.
He was.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Mm-hmm. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.